A whole gang of media snoopers, including Jonathan Marks, scans from D.C. to daylight every Thursday here on Radio Netherlands. Their super-duper whopper-doppler receiver gizmos pick out the essence of what's happening in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Netherlands, we have the technology.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
Information control.
Like nothing we've ever seen. Though.
It's really a miracle of evolution.
Is this some kind of joke?
By Internet Real Audio G2, the Astra Digital Satellite System, and across the globe through AM, FM, and shortwave outlets. From Hilversum, this is Radio Netherlands. Media Network, the weekly survey of communications developments, produced and presented by Diana Janssen and Jonathan Marks.
Hello and welcome to the first show of September. And just looking at the calendar of events this month, it looks like a very busy month, with a major web conference in Malaysia in the next few days, as well as the International Broadcasting Convention in Amsterdam that will start at the end of next week.
Today's show contains a visit to a radio station that's taking the millennium very seriously, because many scientific instruments depend on it. And there's also a look at your letters coming up, so stay with us.
And now your chance to have fun and be in the running to get a great prize.
Let's go back to yesterday. When a phone call cost a dime, turn back the hands of time.
Memory of the Millennium Challenge.
Turn back the hand of time.
Open for your ideas between now and the end of September. We want to find the most popular station or program which won't make it into the next century, but which stands out as a major contributor for this millennium nearly gone.
Here's an entry from Horst Schmidt of Interlaken in Switzerland, who says he was fascinated by the Investment Channel, a short-lived attempt to make money in Africa using hired airtime from South Africa. He says that station has to take the award for the world's least creative interval signal.
This is the Investment Channel, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Listen in and see how your investments compare. You can call us at Liechtenstein 417.
Don't send your money to Liechtenstein. They are no more. Mark Dobson of Greenwich in the UK wants to share his memory of East German spy stations. During the height of the Cold War, they made very eerie listening with their gongs and mechanical voices fighting an undercover war of words on HF. No doubt some of that espionage work is still going on.
And those are just the stations of the past. What about shows that have been and gone on the international wireless bands? They may be gone, but are they forgotten? You be the judge. Write your nomination for the Memory of the Millennium and tell us why in less than 1,000 words. Send email to media@rnw.nl or write to Memory of the Millennium. Media Network, Radio Netherlands, P.O. Box 222. 1200 JG, Hilversum, the Netherlands.
Good afternoon. This is the Voice of Vietnam broadcasting from Saigon. Our program in English is on the air every day from 12:30 to 1 local time.
Ideas are welcome until September 30th, for on that day, Diana Janssen will select the lucky winner. Top prize is a great new book about radio history, plus Radio Netherlands goodies that are all millennium proof. Remember, only stations or programs that have gone off the air can qualify. So recall your memory of the millennium before time runs out.
Hello. Can you hear me? Am I getting through to you? Hello.
So much for the millennium. Arkin Lister of Kansas in the USA. Send us some clippings from a local newspaper showing what seemed to be very elaborate and expensive precautions being taken by a local television station in connection with the year 2000 bug. Is Dutch broadcasting taking it seriously, he wants to know.
Well, Arkin, a definite decision still has to be made by the bosses at the Dutch Broadcasting Corporation, our domestic colleagues at the NOS. But preparations have already begun to build an emergency studio at the Lopik transmitter site in the centre of the Netherlands, just in case things go wrong with the broadcast distribution network in the first seconds of the new millennium. Although it is possible to check some individual pieces of equipment for the so-called Y2K bug, the transmission chain between the radio or television studio and the antenna at the transmitter site is a very complex chain of all sorts of software. The BBC estimated that in its networks there are thousands of tiny software programs involved in switching, and nobody can guarantee that everything will be all right on the night. To be safe rather than sorry, an outside broadcast van and a small team of journalists and technicians will be on standby at the main transmitter site in Holland to make emergency broadcasts if needed. Because if things do go wrong, no one is going to be pleased with a test card and some music on the night to remember.
Radio Netherlands has also been testing its transmitters for millennium compliance, and so far so good. But a dedicated team of staff will also be here throughout the 31st of December and well into the new year, because with our worldwide satellite links and transmitter connections, the millennium starts much earlier than the local festivities here in the Netherlands. We'll do our best to serve you throughout the holiday with radio, television and, of course, the internet.
Oh no, oh no. I've been listening. I've been listening too much to WWV. Now it's coordinated universal time for a visit to Fort Collins, Colorado. At the Tone, Media Network's Summer Safari continues.
Now, in the middle of July, we ran a simple promo about a forthcoming program. I played an extract from the guided tour. We asked you to guess the station from a short description we put on the wireless. Peter Stokes wrote from Brisbane in Australia to suggest that we might be referring to Africa Number 1 in Gabon. Sorry, Peter. Harald Kuhl wrote from Germany, saying that he suspects we have been visiting the exotic location of AWR at Cahuita in Costa Rica. Wish that was true. Another thought was the antenna field of Radio Federación in the Ecuadorian Amazon region, hidden right in the jungle. But they do not have five frequencies any longer, nor do they have an English-speaking technician. Apparently they've got a bunch of monkeys and parrots guarding the area.
So they say. Well, in fact, we're taking you now to a time signal station of all places. Precise time and frequency information is needed by electric power corporations, radio and television stations, telephone companies, air traffic control systems, participants in space exploration, computer networks, scientists monitoring data of all kinds, and even navigators of ships and planes. All these users need to compare their own timing equipment to a reliable, internationally recognised standard. Around the world, there are several of these stations, DCF 77 in Mindflingen, which operates on a very low frequency of 77.5 kHz from a site near Frankfurt and is a useful reference for watches and clocks in most of Western Europe. Throughout South America and Asia, there are stations often connected with the Weather Bureau. There's CHU in Canada that we featured last year on the programme. Perhaps the best known to shortwave listeners is the US National Institute of Standards and Technology, formerly known as the National Bureau of Standards, for most of the users in the United States.
WWV is a radio station which broadcasts time and frequency services. It's located in Fort Collins, Colorado, about 90 kilometers north of Denver in the United States. It's been on the air since 1923, although as Radio Netherlands Spanish-language media editors Jaime Bagena and Alfonso Montalegre discovered for us, things have changed a lot over the last few years. Matt Deutsch is the chief electrical engineer at WWV in Fort Collins, Colorado, and he's our guide on this audio tour. There's an extensive set of photos on the Media Network website, and we'll give you more details at the end of the tour. We start, though, with a burning question. If WWV is the oldest continuous show on the dial, surely they are millennium-proof.
Millennium-proof. Yes, we broadcast the last two digits of the year. We have a special time code that we broadcast from WWV It's a 100 hertz subcarrier, and encoded in that is the last two digits of the year. And so it's up to the receiving equipment when they receive the signal to interpret the last two digits of the year properly. We will go from broadcasting just 99 to 00.
What about the contact between their station in Fort Collins and another time and standard frequency station in Hawaii with a call sign WWVH?
National Institute of Standards and Technology Time. This is radio station WWVH Kauai, Hawaii, broadcasting on internationally allocated standard carrier frequencies of 2.5, 5, 10, and 15 megahertz, providing time of day, standard time interval, and other related information. Inquiries regarding these transmissions may be directed to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, radio station WWVH, Post Office Box 417, Pikaha, Hawaii, 96752. Aloha.
That was established on Hawaii in 1948 and has been ticking away ever since.
We actually have a training program where we share technicians back and forth, two technicians a year. And we try to coordinate operations so that we can have very similar equipment. We try to keep the equipment similar between the two stations so that if we ever need to send a technician from one station to the other, he can work on the equipment that's at the other station, trying to prepare ourselves to help them out if there's ever a major problem out there.
So how are the time pips and the announcements generated? Well, there was a time in 1991 when they tried computer-generated time announcements, but the first attempt wasn't friendly at all. Our media network archives show what went wrong. Reporter Dave Rosenthal went to the site and filed this report.
WWV and WWVH have had some problems with the new microprocessor-based controllers they put online back in August. The new systems are set up to construct each minute's time announcement from computer memory. The processor pulls each word and number out of memory locations and then strings them together. It goes something like this.
At the tone, 4 hours, 31 minutes, coordinated universal time.
Since people have complained that the computer-assembled voice announcements sound unnatural, WWV plans to redo the voice recordings and try to improve things. The plan is to record all new time announcements. This time, each hour and minute will have its own announcement. Instead of hearing something like 23 hours, 52 minutes, it'll be 23 hours, 52 minutes. This consumes more system memory, but the folks at WWV hope it will sound better. Another change will be in the voices themselves. The original WWVH time announcer, Jane Barbie, will make the new WWVH recordings, and John Doyle, a longtime understudy of WWV's original superstar, Don Elliott, will record for that station. Once these new recordings are digitized and installed in system memory, they'll make your off-air recordings of the current announcers real collector's items.
That was in 1991. Since then, the voices have been successfully resampled and re-recorded.
The old voice announcement was done on a large drum, sort of an audio tape type of drum that used to turn mechanically, and there was a head that used to rest on the drum, and the voice announcement was acquired from that drum.
At the tone, 18 hours, 31 minutes, coordinated universal time.
That's the original WWV voice taken off the air in the 1970s. But the current voice is a bit of a mystery.
We're not sure anymore who the announcer was. We had a voice recording done by the company that built the time code generators, and we asked the voice be re-recorded, and we never got the name of the new person that recorded the new voice announcement, so we don't know who that is. Maybe he'll be listening to your broadcast, and he'll call in and say, it's me, it's me.
So what's the main aim of the facility?
The purpose of the station is to disseminate to the public the standard second. The National Institute of Standards and Technology provides the standard weight and the standard length. Standard unit of measure for light is all kept by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And people can always go and compare to a standard weight or a standard length, but the standard second isn't as easily compared to, and they decided the best way to disseminate the standard second is by radio, and that's why we have the two stations here. Announcements that you hear are actually National Weather Service, Coast Guard does the GPS, and then the Earth Environment Services Center does the solar activity reports. And those are for, you know, ships at sea and people along the coast when they need hurricane information or other weather information. Difficult to see through all the trees, but we can go up here on it, up on the edge of the lawn here, and see some of the antennas. As you know, there's five different frequencies that the shortwave station broadcasts on, and then we also have two broadband antennas. Anytime we need to work on one of the primary antennas, there goes an owl. Anytime we have to work on one of the primary quarter-wave dipole antennas here, we can put that broadcast onto one of the broadband antennas here and broadcast from that. We also have another one on the north side of the antenna field. We can broadcast from 2 megahertz all the way up to 30 megahertz on that antenna. That one there is the 5 megahertz antenna. And then looking at the different heights here, that's the 15 and 10 and 20 back there. Yeah. And you can see the transmission line here going out to each of the different antennas. Now, the ones back here, are you interested in those? That's, we have a 60 kilohertz broadcast here also, and we're currently in the process of upgrading the 60 kilohertz from a 10 kilowatt station to a 50 kilowatt station. These four towers that you see here actually suspend an antenna down in the middle, and the wavelength is about 5 kilometers at 60 kilohertz. So this antenna is actually very short electrically compared to, you know, quarter wave dipoles over here. But what we're hoping to do is there's another array to the north identical to this one that used to have a 20 kilohertz broadcast on it, WWVL. And we've changed over that one to handle 60 kilohertz, and we're broadcasting from the north one right now. We're rebuilding the south one, and hopefully this summer we'll be able to transmit into both of these antennas and have a sort of a phased array. It'll be two antennas being driven by the same transmitter. That'll increase our efficiency and coverage of North America.
Times are coming, coming your way. Times are coming, hear us while we say, it's a pleasure to dispense correct time with our compliments. Times are coming, coming your way.
Is our screen room. This is where we keep all of the time code generators, the cesium standards. What we have here are three redundant racks. Each one has its own cesium, and each one has its own time code generator. And what we can do here is compare one time code generator, the timing and the code and everything, from one time code generator to the other. And that way we can tell if there's one of them is having a timing problem or some other problem, it will be taken offline so that it doesn't broadcast. So the other two are sort of backups to that system. What the cesium does is put out an ultra-pure 5 megahertz. And that 5 megahertz then is used by the time code generator to create all the ticks, the tones, the timing, everything you hear on the audio portion. The 5 megahertz is also used to create carriers for the transmitters. Also back here, these are the digital recording units that store the national weather, or the North Atlantic weather, and then the Pacific weather. There's the geomagnetic geo-alert, and then the GPS announcements. And they're called in on phone and stored on here digitally. Back here, this is an old piece of equipment we haven't taken out yet, but this was where the old voice announcement was. And I can open that up for you there and show you. This is what the where the voice used to be, and the, you know, the station announcement that goes out every hour and half hour. So this is the old technology that used to be used.
WWV is operated under the U.S. Department of Commerce. So what about those transmitters?
We have five transmitters, or five different frequencies that we transmit on, 2.5 megahertz, 5, 10, 15, and 20 megahertz. The 5, 10, and 15 are 10 kilowatt transmissions, and then the 2.5 megahertz and the 20 megahertz are 2.5 kilowatt broadcasts. We try never to be off the air. We try to keep it to a minimum. We do have transmitters that automatically start up if the primary one fails. There are other transmitters that will come up and take its place within a few seconds. And there, of course, with everything, you know, sometimes the backups fail, and you don't always have a backup. But for most purposes, we are continuous.
Just a matter of time.
For a long, long time.
Actually, the way we get the time up here is by something called Common View Satellite Time Transfer using the GPS satellites. We have small atomic clocks here that we compare to the actual atomic clock in Boulder, Colorado, and we can compare to within a few nanoseconds our clocks to theirs, and then that's what we transmit from here. About every 18 months, they'll stall for about 1 second to help let the Earth's rotation catch up with atomic time. So the Earth is actually slowing down in its rotation, and we have to make adjustments about every 18 months.
And what about the tones?
You hear the 500 hertz and 600 hertz tone alternate every minute. And then also as an hour marker, we have a 440 hertz tone at the beginning of each hour. And those are just standard audio frequencies for people to use. There are certain minutes where there aren't any tones because the Hawaiian station is broadcasting their weather, their GPS information, and their base environment services solar activity. And so we don't want to broadcast on top of them. And also they, during minutes 8 through 18, they don't broadcast a tone also so that they don't collide with us.
Which begs the question, why put WWVH in Hawaii and give it a similar sort of call sign?
Well, the purpose of putting us here was to make us central to the United States, and then I think in the Pacific they wanted general coverage to Asia and up into Alaska and that area, and that serves that purpose. That's what that station serves. Mm-hmm. WWV, many years ago, before 1966, was on the East Coast, where the station prefix is W. And so when it moved out here in 1966, it just kept the same call sign. I believe that used to be unique that we were the only W station, but I think there may be other ones now. Mm-hmm. They're not adhering to that type of rule anymore.
Deutsch has more than a passing interest in shortwave broadcasting. Does he have a connection?
Yes, I was very interested as a teenager. I had bought a multi-band radio, mainly to listen to police radio. And there was a shortwave band on there, which I found much more interesting than the police. And so from that, I started listening to the more powerful stations, the BBC, the Voice of America, and Radio Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Actually got more interested and went out and bought a Panasonic radio and spent many hours collecting QSL cards and trying to listen through thunderstorms to the distant stations, and enjoyed it very much. And it actually started building kits myself, and that got me interested in electronics. And then I went to Colorado State University and got a electrical engineering degree. A job was open here at WWV, and I interviewed for it, and here I am.
Well, so much for the past, but how does he see the future of the medium?
I think it'll be very interesting. I think shortwave will always have a place. You know, it's always going to be there. It probably may have to change the type of information they broadcast, but I think 20, 30 years from now, shortwave may not play as big a role, but it'll still be of interest to people, and it'll be necessary in certain areas where people can't afford expensive satellite receivers or other type of equipment. Shortwave tends to be able to reach people in distant places that other types of medium can't get to. Hopefully this will be here at least another 25, 30 years. I think there'll always be GPS satellites. People can get time information off of that, off the GPS satellites, but for low cost to the taxpayers, I think shortwave is one of the best bargains to be able to disseminate time almost worldwide using shortwave.
So finally, how will Matt be spending the start of the new millennium at Fort Collins, Colorado?
Everybody will be watching each time zone as it passes through to the new millennium, and certainly when UTC switches or rolls over to midnight January 1st, I think it'll be an exciting time. I plan to be here at the station when it does that and then go home for the celebration that evening when it reaches midnight here in the Colorado.
Matt Deutsch was our guide around WWV in Fort Collins, Colorado, in the USA. If you hear them or you'd like more information, the address to write to is as follows: WWV, 2000 East Country Road 58, Fort Collins, Colorado, and the zip code is 80524. That's 2000 East Country Road 58, Fort Collins, Colorado, 80524 in the United States. If propagation is lousy, you can also hear the station over the phone. If you pick up and call 1 for the USA, then area code 303-499-7111. That's 303-499-7111. That's for WWV. Or if you're feeling adventurous, you could try Hawaii. The number there is 1, area code 808, then 335-4363. That's 808-335-4363 for WWVH.
If you have the right free software on your computer, you can also get WWV to synchronize the clock in your computer. To save reading out a washing list of web addresses, you'll be pleased to know there is also extensive further information available on the media network pages on our website, which will link you through to the online brochures provided by the NIST, plus some great video and photos as well. That URL is easy to remember. It's www.rnw.nl, and click on the media banner.
Media Network, with worldwide correspondents who are out to make sense, not dollars.
And that's where we have to take our leave for now. Thanks for background research to Andy Sennett and Esther van der Plaan.
And whatever your plans are for the weekend, whether you're lying on the beach somewhere in Greece
or sipping coffee in downtown Kuala Lumpur,
have a sunny weekend.
Wonder what that was all about.
Media Network is a Radio Netherlands presentation. Copyright 1999. All rights reserved.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website. where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.